Yeah, if you're here last week, we started the series off. If not, you know, we'll jump in today and hopefully you can catch up. And let me pray for us before we start. God, we thank you so much for this morning, for this opportunity we have to worship you. It's so easy to get distracted and lost in all of the busyness of life, the chaos, and we carry a lot of stuff into this building, some of it really good and some of it really hard, but we know that you meet us here in the midst of it, in the dirt of life. You do something beautiful. And so we just ask that you do that again, that your spirit would be working in this place and in our hearts, that you would not allow us to keep these barriers up between you and us, that you'd break down the walls. We need you. We're so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome 9 o'clock. I still want to say 9:30. Welcome 9 o'clock, Grace Orgsburg, and welcome to Tremont. We're so excited about all that God is doing in our Tremont location, and it's good to have you with us. We're jumping into our next message in our series, Joy in the Dirt. This is about finding and growing joy in your life, in no matter what life looks like, no matter what kind of wasteland you are living in, even if your year has been really good or really bad, whatever this year brings you, what my hope is for you, what my hope is for me, is not happiness. Happiness is great. It's good to be happy. It's fun to be happy, but happy is fleeting. Happiness is dependent on what happens to you. Joy hits different, and it's way deeper. Joy sustains you. Joy is the peace, the goodwill, the contentment that you can experience no matter what happens to you. Even when the worst of it happens to you, it's still there, ruminating in your soul. This peace that you really can't explain, this joy that seems to be hard to extinguish. And that's my hope for you, and that's my hope for me, and that's why we are starting this year with this series called Hope in the Dirt, Joy in the Dirt. And last week, we talked about how it starts with getting honest in prayer. And my guess is that if I hope that you just were able to do that with God, no matter what life has looked like, just get real honest with him. We talked about David running from his son and his prayer in Psalm 65, and it's a great read if you want to catch up on that or dig into it. I survived a gnarly storm outside of Estes Park at 13,000 feet when I was a younger man. So like not that long ago. 13,000 feet is high when you're used to living in Pennsylvania or when you go to school in Chicago. 13,000 feet is high. And in the middle of this ordeal, I had symptoms of elevation sickness, and the friend I was with, who's named Chad and one of my best friends in the world, started to show the early signs of hypothermia. And when you're out camping and a storm unexpectedly sweeps over the mountains and the temperature drops rapidly, a thing like a campfire or a tent won't save you. There's really not anything that you can do above the surface that would help you survive when the weather throws its worst at you. All you can do when you are at 13,000 feet outside of Estes Park in Colorado and a wicked storm blows in, all you can do is either get back to shelter, which was out of the and not an option for us because of the condition that we were both starting to be in, or you can build a snow cave. I don't know what, if you know what a snow cave is. A snow cave is a technique that rangers have used for a really long time when they get surprised and they get stuck in the worst kind of weather in the freezing cold. And what you do is you build a little tunnel into a bank of snow, and that tunnel has to be not much larger than you crawling through it, and that tunnel has to go in, and then it has to go up, and then as you go up, what you do is you dig a little bubble about the size of the inside of a car. And if you can successfully do that, what happens underneath feet of snow is that that snow insulates that enough to keep that temperature just a fraction above freezing if you put some bodies in it. We didn't know the storm was coming. And as we were getting ready to light a fire and get set for the night, all of a sudden you could see it on the horizon and feel it in the air. And it looked wicked. And so we hurriedly dug into this snowdrift that we found, built this cave. You don't move fast when it's that cold, but you got to keep moving. It doesn't really seem like you're getting anywhere when you're like taking chunks of snow and passing them between your legs to your buddy who is laying at your feet, and he's passing that and kicking it out the hole at the bottom. It doesn't really seem like you're getting anywhere, but you're getting somewhere, and you're getting somewhere really, really important. It took us a long time moving slow, but we got our snow cave lit, or together. We lit a couple candles that we had for emergency in our backpack, and we spent what was a horrific night of sleep. I know some of you like dealt with him snoring all last night, and you woke up and you wanted to punch him. You still slept better than we did that night. It was awful between the headaches and my buddy's hypothermia symptoms and my vomiting. Is this too much information from elevation sickness in a small snow cave? That's not fun. But what happened in that snow cave is that laying next to each other in our very thankful for these very cold rated sleeping bags that we were in, with a couple candles underneath the surface, that cavern rose to the temperature to keep us alive and sustain us. Now, if you were to drive by, you couldn't drive by, it's in the middle of the mountain somewhere. If you were to fly a helicopter over, all you would have seen is snow. That's all you would have seen. In fact, even the small little hole that we used to dig to climb into there got buried fast in that storm. You would not have seen any sign of life. But underneath the surface, we were being sustained and protected by God's design and the way snow can insulate. You may not feel like you're going anywhere fast right now in life, but maybe you're still going somewhere really important. And it may not look like anything is growing on the surface. You've made all these changes. You had high hopes for this year. This was going to be a year where you saw the best stuff ever, and you're like a couple weeks into it and nothing's growing yet. There, you don't see any real change in your relationships or in your job or in how you feel or in the areas you were hoping to see all the change. The scale has not changed, though you've been working out since January 1st every day. But maybe, though it's going slow and though you can't see anything on the surface, maybe what's happening underneath is preparing you and sustaining you and helping you grow strong to make it through. If you came last week, you know, like, Joy in the Dirt starts with getting honest in prayer. And the whole message this week is like, joy grows and is built on what happens underneath the surface. That's where joy really finds its roots. It's what God does underneath the surface, the stuff you can't see him doing, the stuff that nobody notices. And we don't like that because we want to go, hey, I came to church last week and I did what they said. I prayed an honest prayer and nothing happened. And my guess is that whatever you came here with last week and you prayed about isn't fixed yet. If it is, that's awesome. That's just not the way it works for most of us. It takes a long time to see really good stuff happen in our lives. And we don't like that because we want to take the short road. The long road makes it hard to wait. And waiting makes it hard to trust that God is actually doing something in our lives. You may not be going anywhere fast, but you're still going somewhere. And if you are praying, you are moving, even if you don't see it. And even if you don't feel it, if you are praying, not only are you moving, but God is working, even if you don't see it, and even if you can't feel it. This passage I want to talk about today, if you have a Bible, and we have free ones on the back shelf in this room, you can grab one, take one. It'd be awesome if you did. We like to give those out. I have three of those in my office with notes in them. So they're really good Bibles. Or if you want to follow on your phone, you can open a Bible app. I use the YouVersion Bible app. Apparently the other Josh does too now. So that's good to know. We're all on the same page. If last week didn't fix it, if you didn't see if you can't see the change you want to see on the surface of your life, if it seems like you're praying but nothing is happening, maybe if stuff in your life isn't happening fast enough, then maybe this one's for you. And maybe the reminder that you need is that joy is built on what happens below the surface, the things you can't see. And sometimes those things take longer than we want them to. There's this really cool passage between the people of Israel leaving Egypt and Pharaoh's rule and before they cross the Red Sea. Those are like two really big moments that we talk a lot about in church. Have you watched the cartoon movies and seen what I'm talking about? Have you read the stories? I don't know if you have, and if you didn't, I'm jealous of you because these are really awesome things to like check out for the very first time. And we usually focus on the Exodus. That's the name of the book in the Bible. We focus on that. We talk about all the incredible things God did, like dramatic stuff to get Pharaoh to go, and Moses going like, let my people go. I don't know why he sounds like that in my head. It's a strange place to be, my head. We talk about all those dramatic things, and then we kind of like skip. I've done this. Like skip forward from them. Pharaoh going like, all right, go. The crossing of the Red Sea where God, like Moses sticks his staff out and like the waters part and the whole nation walks across dry land. The sea closes in on Pharaoh's chariots who are now chasing him down. Yay, huge win. Awesome. Big dramatic stuff that we like to preach about. There's some cool stuff that happens in between those two things. And you can see part of it here in the crossing, or Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. And if you just want to follow along, I want to read this and maybe let these words sink in. The words of this are far better than the words of me. So hopefully this is an encouragement to you. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. Philistine, bad guys. Though that was shorter, and that's like the part that some of you need to underline in your Bibles or write down on a little piece of paper, put it in the margin of your bulletin so you don't miss this part. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Egypt equals slavery, remember. And it says, so God led the people, circle this word, around by the desert road. That's not the shortcut we all hope for. Toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready, now this is important too, ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him and some other really incredible stuff. And then when you get to verse 20, that stuff is for another sermon another time. It says, after leaving, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God takes them the long way. And what if he's taking you the long way too? There was a shorter road Maybe you see it in your life. The shorter road is the road where, like, you and your significant other, things have been rough, but you have this one conversation, and then, hey, we're back in love. Maybe you see the short road. The road where you get the promotion tomorrow when you go into work, and you deserve it anyway, and you've been working so hard, and now you're going to have all the money and all the stuff that you need, and life is going to be so much better. Maybe you see a short road through the problem where God just heals you, and you don't have to deal with this sickness anymore. Maybe you see a short road, and like sometimes we can see the short road. I wonder if there was anybody with a map going like, oh, but Moses, if we just like shoot across this way, we'll save a lot of time. And by the way, that might be really important if Pharaoh decides to chase us. Like, isn't the short road better? Seems better, doesn't it? Feels better. But here's the problem with short roads in life to the destination that you want to get to. You can't see down the road. You don't know what lies ahead on any of the roads of life. And the good news for us today, part of where trust starts and what needs to happen underneath the surface of our lives, is that trust needs to take its roots. Part of where that happens when we go, yeah, I can't see and I don't know, so this road seems shorter. It seems easier. It seems better. Wouldn't my life feel good if this problem was fixed? But I trust that whatever road God wants me to go on, He sees what lies ahead. And He knows what's going to happen. It says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, interesting enough, this passage, as I was looking at it this week, the first part fits last week's message so well. It says, seek the Lord and He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. That's like straight out of last week's message. And then verse 8, it kind of takes this other thing. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It goes on and it talks about rain and snow come down from heaven and how they water the earth, making it bud and flourish. What happens underneath? And God may be taking you down a road in your life that you don't think is the right road. You wish there was a shorter road. But He sees, and He knows, and He cares. It's not just that He has a different path than the one we would pick. You have to understand, God has a different perspective. God has an eternal perspective on your life, not a temporary perspective. God is playing the long game with your life. Doesn't just want for you a temporary fix. He wants something far greater. He wants some roots that will yield joy no matter what life throws at you, no matter what someone does to you. And that lets us trust and seek. Sometimes God takes you the long road, and sometimes God takes you around. Around is not cool. Around doesn't seem convenient. It's not exciting. It's not something awesome. It doesn't get us there where we want to go quick, but He cares too much about us. And can I just say that sometimes we go through things that we should not be going through, that God doesn't want us to go through. because we're not following him and his road for us. This is incredible to think about, that around may be better, that sometimes God takes you the long road around a problem that you think you are ready for. They came out of Egypt ready for battle, it says. They had swords. They had money. They had armor. God had moved so greatly in Egypt that Pharaoh and the Egyptians were throwing them all of this stuff. They plundered the Egyptians without plundering them. That's how eager they were to get these Israelites out of their hair. And that's how greatly God moved to make this happen. They thought they were ready. They had the swords. They had the shields. They had the armor. They had the helmets. And they probably looked ridiculous. And even though they thought they were ready, they weren't. It makes me wonder how many times I think I'm ready for something. How many times have you thought you're ready for something? I remember being a young man and going like, I'm ready to find the one. God, I'm ready to find that one. And then wondering why it wasn't happening when I'm just dealing with like loneliness and trying to figure it out. And people are telling you all the stuff they tell you, like, if you stop trying, it'll just happen. And, you know, if you've said that to somebody, I say that to people all the time. Like, right? Like, or maybe you've been like, I'm ready for this relationship. I'm ready to not be single. I'm ready for this job. I'm ready for a promotion. I'm ready to run my own company. I'm ready. Why isn't God giving it to me? I'm so ready. Maybe you think you're ready, but you're not. And God takes you around another way. Not because he is withholding from you, but because he is forming you. You think you're ready, but something underneath the surface has to happen first. You gotta find a new dependence on him. You gotta find that your needs are met in him and not somebody else. You gotta grow deeper in your understanding of his character and his love for you. Maybe there's some character issues in your life. You think you're ready, but God's gotta work them out. You know how long I was a lead pastor before this thing started growing? 8 years. People think that's crazy now. Two campuses, bunch of services, all crazy, awesome things happening in the last couple of years here at Grace Free Church. But there was a long time where nothing was happening. And I was like, God, maybe I should quit. I don't know if I'm the right guy. Like, I thought I was ready, but nothing's happening. Instead, what was happening is, God was making me into the man I needed to be to carry the burdens that come with all this stuff. God was solidifying my character. He was making me into the right kind of husband, the right kind of father, which would make me into the right kind of pastor to help carry this. See, God is doing something under the surface, and it's taking longer than you want. And I know you don't see what you want to see, but you got to trust that even though you think you're as ready, God is trying to form something in you. He's not holding you back. He is holding you together. He is holding it together. Can you trust him? They thought they were ready, but what they needed, maybe what you need is time. Maybe you need growth. Maybe you need dependence. Maybe you need a healthier soul. Maybe you need character. Maybe you need depth. And all of these things God does his work on underneath the surface. And those are the things joy sprouts from. His presence didn't leave them. Thank goodness they didn't rush to try to get where they were going faster, because if they rushed, they would have had to go through something they thought they were ready for, but they were not. And how many of you can testify that sometimes you have not followed God in his route, you've taken a shortcut, and you've had to deal with some pain and some brokenness that you didn't have to deal with? But they follow him, and his presence is never far. There's a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire to guide them even on the long road. And don't you think right now, like, wouldn't that be easy as the worship team's gonna come out? I wanna wrap this. Wouldn't it be easier if there's like a cloud from heaven that said, like, come this way. Say this thing. This'll fix it. A pillar from fire at night, like steering you through all of the relational conflict that you got. Everybody loves you because you're just, look, there's a pillar of fire. I'm just going to follow that. And then everything's going to work out. And sometimes I read passages like this and I'm like, yeah, God, easy for them. Your presence was so visible. A pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. It'd be easy to follow you if I had that. But then I pause and I think, yeah, but I miss, those were signs of God's presence on the journey. And I don't have a pillar of fire or clouds, but I got lots of signs of his presence on my journey. I have the peace that he gives that's unexplainable. I have his spirit living in me, helping guide me and helping me to understand his word and life and what he's doing in my life. That same spirit that is stirring in you, maybe even right now, calling you closer to him, asking you to trust him, showing you the way. That spirit that we resist because we just want the shortcut. I don't have a pillar of fire or cloud, but I have people that God sends into my life to help me understand him. And I have his word with me, something available to me every day that I can read. And I have this incredible thing called being able to remember my past and see how he has shown up before when I was walking through it and didn't see anything on the surface. Sometimes it feels like I'm not moving fast, but something important is happening. And I don't see all the results I want to see, but underneath the surface, I'm still praying. And so I'm still moving, and God is still working. And maybe we just need to stop measuring our life by how fast things happen. It's not about how fast things happen. It's about what God is doing in you. Maybe this morning you just need to trust that though you haven't seen what you want to see, God is doing something greater underneath the surface. And can you trust him? Maybe this is his wake-up call to say to you, I got you. We've been working this whole time. You just haven't been paying attention to it. Maybe instead of seeking clouds of fire, you just seek more of his spirit in your life and more of his word in your life and more of his presence in your life. Maybe you should just open up your heart to the people around you that he is sending into your life to help you on your journey. Maybe you should just let them help carry some of the burden of your life and stop acting like you got to hold it all together. God is doing something underneath the surface. He will hold it all together. You just have to trust him. Last week we said, I don't need those anyway, that what if we took this stuff and instead of calling it dirt in our life, we called it soil. This week, I just want to remind you that when you look at the surface of this thing, nothing is happening. It's so easy to go, that's not soil because soil grows stuff. And today's reminder is this, that maybe somewhere in the middle of all of this mess, even though you don't see any sprouts or anything green, something is happening. The roots are forming. The seeds are not just dead, that God is growing something in your life, and that something is these roots. And that the stronger these roots go underneath the surface, even though you don't see what's happening, the stronger you are. The more you trust that God is working underneath it all, the more joy you will have, which will sustain you no matter what life throws at you. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, some of us need to say, we trust you. We need to confess that we have been anxious and impatient to see the results we want to see. We've been getting frustrated. And right now we say that we trust that as we allow you, you are doing a good work underneath the soil. That good work will sustain us no matter what happens. And maybe some of us need to confess, God, we thought we were ready, but maybe we're not. Maybe we need you to work in our character, in our foundation, in our knowledge of you, in our gentleness, in our peace, in our love, so that we can be ready for what you have for us, and we trust that you see down the road. You know what lies ahead and we don't, and your ways are higher than our ways, and we trust you. Would you help us to know that joy, it's not like happiness, which is so fleeting and depends on what happens. Joy is grown in the dirt as you build the roots that we need to sustain us. Would you help us to be rooted in you? We ask all this in Jesus' name.